Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
It's good. Brother Cox has been such a blessing over these past 10 years. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years, been our Senior Saints pastor. Been in the ministry now 50 years. And of course, started in the ministry when he was a baby. So served for our country for 24 years. And I appreciate him so very much, his wisdom, and as well as just his upbeat spirit. That's one of the things I love about Brother Cox. And just appreciate him and Miss Cox so very much. And we'll have Brother Cox come on and preach for us this morning.
You're very kind, Pastor. Thank you so much. I'm waiting for the Family Crawford CD. Wouldn't you like to have a CD? Take your Bible, please. Turn to...
We'll get you.
Am I not on? The old man. I'm sorry.
Yep. The suspenders. There you go.
Thank you. Take your Bibles, please, and turn. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I really am humbled and thankful and grateful to the pastor for asking me to preach on Veterans Day. It is next to the Lord Jesus Christ, probably close to my heart, obviously. And my wife, of course. I should not forget Jeannie. I will hear about it. But we've been married for 53 years, so I mean, you know. But anyway... 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would please, you've been hearing this over before, we want you to hear it again. Now, what it takes to be a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 and 4, telling young Timothy, thou therefore, young Timothy, endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Forget the election. Forget the election. Don't tangle yourself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who he has chosen to be a soldier. A soldier. Let's pray. Father, we realize that a soldier, because of the sacrifice and all that's been put into their life, is a cut above the rest. We don't demean anybody else, but there are certain unique sacrifices and duties and willingness to follow and obey commands that not many people on this earth are willing to do. But I pray today we'll see the value of being a soldier, a warrior, for our Savior. We'll see the value of what it takes to be willing to do the work and have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached here and around the world. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity of being enlisting into your army and into your service for you. We pray that you'll bless the word, the teaching, and the thoughts and ideas of what it takes to be a warrior for our King. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. When he woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, the Waco, Texas native had to hurry to get to the mess hall because he knew the men would be waiting and they'd be hungry. But he also knew he wouldn't have to feed as many because they were probably dragging in from the night before Saturday, and some of them would sleep in, wouldn't have that many to feed. But it was beginning to be a beautiful day in paradise. But the 22-year-old Doris Miller, nicknamed Dory, and understandably so, had not yet seen that day because when breakfast was over, he got together the laundry. It was a job that was given to him in addition to his mess hall duties. He was a ship's cook, third-class mess attendant. As he was gathering the laundry, he looked at that clock, almost 8 o'clock. And then suddenly, he heard the alarm sound. Man your battle stations! Man your battle stations! Wow, that couldn't be anything serious. I mean, after all, his ship was a battleship. He was on the USS West Virginia. And he was among other battleships anchored, he thought, safely in Pearl Harbor. Suddenly, the first of seven torpedoes slammed into his ship. It would rip the side of the ship out and knock him to the floor. When he suddenly got up, he rushed to where officers would be directing him what to do and where to go, and one of the officers directed him to take care of his commanding officer, Captain Melvin Binion, who was mortally wounded with shrapnel in his chest. Trying to help the captain, he refused the help. And the captain maintained his spot in command there in his post, calling out and giving orders. Officers on the bridge saw the 6'3", 200-pound Dory Miller ask him to help manning a machine gun. Dory was unfamiliar with machine guns. After all, he was a cook, and he helped out in the laundry. Officers were asking him to feed ammunition to this 50-caliber machine gun. And while they were busy barking orders to somebody else, they looked and heard the sound of the machine gun. It was Dory Miller on this machine gun that he had never fired before. He never got trained to fire it. And suddenly, now you have this picture of officers feeding ammunition to this black man who is now firing the machine gun at Japanese Zeros that were flying overhead. When the ammunition ran out, they tended to the injury, dragging the bodies, including the captain, away, who later died of his injuries. Then, suddenly, two armor-piercing bombs went through the decks of the West Virginia, and then the rest of the torpedoes, six of them in all, would come and hit the West Virginia. The crew did their best to keep the ship righted by not turning over, and they did a great job, but the ship would eventually sink to the bottom of Pearl Harbor. Dory and some of the crew survived. It would be May 1942, the next year, that 22-year-old Dory Miller would be the first African-American awarded the Navy Cross for Valor, second only to the Medal of Honor. And he would become among the first of other heroes of World War II, of December 7th, 1941. The medal, well, personally awarded to Dory Miller, by the highest ranking admiral of the 7th Fleet, Chester Nimitz, who was from Fredericksburg, Texas. It would be on the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise. Sadly, Dory, on another ship in 1943, had that ship bombed and torpedoed out from underneath him. He would never survive. What we learn about Dory Miller can help us learn about what the Lord is looking for in a warrior. And I think we need to have the understanding of the mindset of being a warrior for our Lord and our Savior. First of all, is their mindset mentality. A mindset mentality. You find it right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He tells, Paul does, young Timothy, have this mindset that you're to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Did you get that, Timothy? Do you get that, Christian? We're to be a soldier. We're to be a warrior for our Lord. Now you may say, wait a minute, hold on. I never signed up for this. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I never intended on being a warrior. Makes no difference whether you want to be at war with the devil or not. Why? He is at war with us. So we have to be a warrior, like it or not. Like it or not. And we find that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of this darkness and this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil does not like us being saved. He does not like us identifying with Jesus Christ. And he does not like anyone who comes to the altar who surrenders their life to be a follower and a dedicated life to Jesus Christ. We need a warrior mentality. If we're going to be successful against the wiles of the devil, we need a warrior mentality. Dory Miller never trained on that machine gun. He had no idea how to use it or operate it, but it didn't take long under the enemy fire with bombs dropping and torpedoes coming in to learn how to fight back. You may think, I'm not a warrior, but it doesn't take long when the devil attacks you. It doesn't take long when the devil's after you. It doesn't take long when you are ridiculed and mocked for the cause of Jesus Christ. You learn right away how to be a Christian warrior. I'm sure this black man was cussed out, racial slurs aimed at him, degraded, abused, verbally and emotionally, terribly had things going on because that was a white man's Navy in 1940. But he didn't let that stop him when the bullets started flying. He took all of the things that were aimed against him, and it toughened him up to fight. It made him be able to fight more because he knew it was kill or be killed. Yes, Christian, you need a warrior's mentality to fight against the devil and to realize that you are going to be attacked by him and that we need to spring into action and take on the whole armor of God and, having done all, stand against the wiles of the devil. That's a warrior mentality. Secondly, we need a warrior's loyalty. Loyalty. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and I will obey the orders of the President of the United States, no matter who he is, and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. That is the oath of office all of these veterans had taken before they entered the service. It is a pledge and an oath of allegiance, duty, obedience, and loyalty to defend their nation, defend their country, no matter who's in office. They take that oath to serve America. Some will not. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Not everybody will be loyal to Jesus Christ. Not everybody will be loyal and dedicated to the Lord. The election is over. Our enemy Satan is now feeling the emboldenment of his spiritual muscles, as it were, to take on more against us. Christ needs your loyalty today. This is not a time to shirk back and shrink back and moan and groan about what may have happened or may not have happened. We find this is the time to be loyal and faithful and have your allegiance towards Jesus Christ, our Savior. In 2 Samuel 23, we find a reading of David's mighty men of valor. These were men who were faithful, loyal to David. We hear of one in verse 8 named Adino. Adino took one spear, no gunpowder in those days, one spear, and he fought off and killed 800 of the enemy. We find in the next verse Eleazar. Eleazar smote the Philistines, it says, until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord brought a great victory that day. He fought so much, so hard, so valiantly, his hand could not let go of that spear. It became an extension of his arm. That's how valiant and faithful and loyal and obedient he was to David. There were others. Shammer in verses 11 to 12, who stood in the midst of the ground, guarding a field of lentils. That was the food supply for David's army. He fought and guarded them that the enemy may not take the food away from David. You see, David's mighty men of valor were faithful and loyal to him at the sacrifice of their own life. Christian, we're called upon to be faithful and loyal to our Savior, even at the sacrifice of our own life. I die daily, Paul says. I deny myself and lift up Jesus Christ. Amen. Thirdly, we need the armor, the warrior spirit of never quitting. Never quitting. According to 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, thou and therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm sure it was tough for Dory Miller to endure the pain, the rejection, the mean-spirited words that were aimed at him as being a black man on that ship. But when the time came and the Japanese attacked, those abuses only made him tougher. They only made him stronger. And he proved that he was a warrior that wasn't going to quit by all the language that was aimed at him of being a black man on that ship. Christian, we're going to get beaten up verbally and emotionally for our faith. We're going to get ridiculed. We're going to get mocked. We're going to have those people who say, come on, you don't know what you're talking about. That's when we never give up and we never quit. We must never, ever quit. United States Navy SEAL Jason Redman, who was responsible for 120 high-value targets in Iraq, killed or captured, was injured September 2007, wounded twice in the arm and one in the face. Over 37 surgeries were performed on that man. While recovering in Bethesda Naval Hospital in Washington, D.C., he had a bright orange sign on his door that read this, quote, if you're coming into my room that feels sorry for me and my wounds, go elsewhere. I don't need you. The wounds I received, I got in a job I love, doing it for the people I love and supporting the freedom of the country I love. That is a warrior. That's the warrior mentality. That's a warrior spirit of never giving up and having no regrets. Christian, do you have regrets serving Jesus Christ? Do you shrink back when people aim their language at you and mock and ridicule you and make fun of you? Never quit. Never quit. Because they knew what they signed up for. They knew exactly what they signed up for. In fact, it was one of those things that made them go on. The warrior spirit is never quit. No regrets. We continue on for Jesus Christ. Number four, a warrior knows the cost. He knows the cost. Jesus said, if any man come unto me, hate not his father, his mother, and wife and children, and brother and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. SEAL Team 6, before going after Osama bin Laden in Pakistan, many of them wrote letters to their loved ones. They knew the very real possibility of never coming back from that operation. Anything could happen. Anything. And so they wrote these letters. But they knew the cost. They knew what they volunteered to do. Legend says that King Arthur had, in the courts of the Knights of the Round Table, he had these men come and sort of candidate to be knights. Okay, what qualifies you to be a knight? Why would you like to be in my round table as knights of the noted King Arthur? He said, I want to see you. Stand before me and lift up your tunic. Lift up your dress. Let me see what you have. I want to see your battle scars. I want to see how brave you are. Thomas, in the upper room, wanted to see the battle scars of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, here, Thomas, my hands. Nail prints on my hand. The spear wound in my side. Put your hand there. Thomas shrank back. He understood exactly the battle scar Jesus Christ had for him. Christian, what about your battle scar? What battle scars do we have? Do we shrink away from the battle? Do we not want to get into the fight? Because we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to get injured. We don't want to have a scar. Jesus has scars for us. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for us. He endured the thorns of crown on his head. He endured all of that we might have eternal life. He is willing to show us his battle scars. What battle scars do we have for him? Number five, a warrior must have obedience. Obedience. Iraq, 2008. Private, I want you to be a part of a road convoy. We're going to resupply Outpost Charlie tomorrow morning, and I want you to drive one of the trucks. Sir, is that the same road where we lost two or three of our other men last week? Yes, Private, that's right. You see, a soldier needs to be obedient even unto death. A soldier needs to be willing to follow orders and drive even though the danger is real. In Iraq, many of our guys drove by empty boxes, they thought, only to have a roadside bomb in them. They drove by the carcass of an old dead cow, only to have a roadside bomb inside that carcass. They drove by an old garbage bag that we see along the highway here in Texas, but inside that garbage bag was a roadside bomb, ready to detonate any American truck that went by. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbleth himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ knew what was ahead of him. He knew what lied ahead. He knew the ridicule, the mocking. He knew the desertion of his own disciples. And yet, he was willing to be obedient to the cross, even the death of the cross for us. He became a warrior for us. He willingly obeyed his heavenly Father and became obedient unto death. The result of seeing Christ die from a seasoned soldier, a centurion who had been in charge of the crucifixion detail. I mean, his role was to make sure crucifixions happened the way they should happen. He'd seen a lot of men die, but he'd never seen one die like Jesus. Hearing everything that happened, all the events that surrounded it, and see that he, Jesus, was indeed innocent and yet hanging on that cross like a criminal, we find these words in Matthew 25, verse 54. When the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, truly, this is the Son of God." To die innocently, to die for no cause, no reason, according to the centurion, he's got to be the Son of God. It led to the salvation of the centurion. And then finally, there's the warrior's faith and trust. In the military, you're given a chain of command. And when you're told to do something to accomplish your mission, you're hoping that those guys in charge of you have the right weaponry, they've got the right intelligence, and they have everything you need in tactics to be able to accomplish a mission. There's a great element of trust because your very life will depend upon their orders for you to go into battle. Matthew 8, 5 through 13 tells the story of a centurion who had a servant grievously in pain because of the palsy. Jesus told him, "Yeah, I can come to him. I can heal him." But according to Matthew 8, verse 8, we find this. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come into my roof, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to his servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled. Only a soldier's willingness to trust Jesus just by his word made Jesus marvel. That's the very Son of God who's seen everything. But he marveled at the faith of this man. He said later on, "I've not seen such faith. No, not even in Israel. My people, they don't have that faith." Only a warrior who knows what it's like to take and obey orders knows trust and faith. That's why, Christian, we're to be a warrior. We're to trust and have faith in our Lord and our Savior. That's why we need to believe him and all that goes on. So, when we look at what Jesus has done, We have to trust him. We say, and rightly so, from the pulpit from time to time, that the Lord is in charge. Would you please say that with me after this election? One, two, three. What?
The Lord is in charge.
Oh, come on. A whole lot better than that. Please. One, two, three.
The Lord is in charge.
There you go. Do we believe it? If we believe it, then after this election, guess what? God has us as Christians. God has America right where he wants us to depend upon him. Have we been guilty of the last 4 years depending upon another man in the White House? Have we? Now we're at this point in time where no longer we have to depend upon the Lord and the Lord alone. Hey, by the way, that's what he wanted from us 4 years ago. We didn't learn our lesson much, did we? Now God's forced us into this point. Now you got to trust me. Now you got to trust me. And guess what? You get to obey the word of God in trusting me. How about that? That's what God has before us today. Believe him. Trust him. Have faith in him as a good warrior of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian here today, please understand. You have a warrior that willingly was obedient to his commander-in-chief, God, and willingly died on the cross for your sins. A warrior who fought through all the thick and thin and ridicule and mocking and all that Satan had to throw at him, who willingly fought through all of that and willingly became obedient to the cross of Calvary on behalf of you. Has there been anyone who's fought for you lately? If you're here without Jesus Christ, who has fought for you lately? Nobody but Jesus Christ. He fought for you. He died for you. He became obedient to his heavenly Father for you. He died that you might have eternal life. He went through the depths of hell on your behalf. He took your penalty on your behalf. He took your grave on your behalf. No other warrior fought for you like Jesus Christ. Please, if you're without Christ, you need to come today. If nothing else, just say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. As we wrap it up, the conclusion of the story. 30 years later, Dory Miller's death in 1943, the United States Navy commissioned a ship in his honor, in his name, the USS Miller. It sailed from 1973 to 1991. And just this year, in January 19th, 2020, the United States Navy came out and announced 3 years from now, in the year 2023, we're going to commission the first ever aircraft carrier in honor of a black man, the USS Dory Miller. To show the sacrifice, to show the bravery, to show the willingness of a black man who had been cussed out and kicked and scoffed at, but fought bravely for his nation and for his country. Christian warrior, the election is over. And what Jesus Christ, our commander-in-chief, is asking us to do now, man your battle stations, man your battle stations. Be ready for the enemy. The enemy's at hand. Let me give you one word of thought. Rest assured, Jesus always gets in the last word. We're told in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, as Jesus was looking and he will be preaching to those demons who left their first estate, those demons who fell with the devil. He'll be preaching to them, and here's what we find. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in his death and burial and resurrection. Demons, you thought you had me. Demons, you tried to stop me from being born. Demons, you thought you could do away with my plan for the gospel and the church. But hey, I have the last word. Jesus Christ has the last word. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you don't know him as your Savior, remember, there was a warrior who fought for you. There was someone who willingly took the sins of your life on himself. He willingly took and sacrificed himself on your behalf. Nobody else has done that. Oh, these these servicemen have served your nation and country, but nobody faced Satan on your behalf except Jesus Christ. Christian, are you, have you, have we been guilty of sitting in the back seat, kind of I don't know if I want to get involved. I don't know if I want to jump in there. I'm not really sure if I'm ready to do this. Christian, to be a warrior means you have to man your battle stations. You have to be ready. The fight is at hand. You may not want to fight, but your enemy, the devil, he does. And he will aim at you as a target. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help those that need your son. Father, I pray that they will understand that one, a warrior, Jesus Christ, died for them. I pray they'll come and receive you into their life. Father, I pray for Christians that maybe now, after we see all this taking place, we realize, I have to depend upon you now, Father. I've got to depend upon you. You are in charge and you're in control. But now I totally, totally depend upon you. And I trust you now. We thank you for that. Help us in this service. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Pastor.
Have a verse of invitation.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.